Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe, Tasmanian Devin? And we're going to talk about breaking new ground with Plan Hub today. Yes, indeed. We're going to have our friends from Plan Hub back. We're going to dig a little deeper today. So if you go back to show 179, that's where we had Kevin Pretty come in, who is the president and CEO of Plan Hub. And we talked through him building, and I love having the visionaries and the people that come up with the concepts and get this thing going. But today, Tribe, we're going to take a little deeper. We're going to go in and we're going to have a fireside chat with Evan Williams, who's the VP of Product Management at Plan Hub. So what are we going to be talking about today? Our main message for you is that Plan Hub is here to help make life easier in the pre-construction phase. And how is this going to benefit? They are the construction bidding marketplace, helping general contractors, subcontractors, and suppliers connect and grow in their business. And we have one other really, really special surprise for you guys today. So I've been talking about how our audience is just crushing it, and I hear 400,000 this and all these great numbers. And the numbers are the numbers, right? But you have the people that make it work. And so we get to have a special guest co-host come in today. And this just happened when we're sitting around the fire having our pre-interview here like a half hour ago. This guy is so passionate about what he does, and he makes it all happen behind the scenes. And I said, you know what? It's time, Mr. Marketing Director Scott Hicken. Come on up and tell your story and join the mic. So Scott, the Art of Construction Tribe, you've been behind the scenes doing all this editing, taking the Tasmanian Devin and making this message sound clear. That is a challenge. Thank you for making it so easy for the audience. Welcome to hear your story. What's your story? And I'm excited why this is the one that you want to be. Come talk on the mic.
Thanks, Devin, and hello to the Art of Construction Tribe. My name is Scott, and I've been behind the scenes doing the podcast, doing the editing, setting up the shows and the website and all our media for just about 2 years now. Been a multimedia creative and messaging guru my whole life. Like Evan, who we're going to talk to today, I've been involved in many industries throughout the years, but have really found my home here in the construction industry, working for the Tasmanian Devin, so a marketing director of Mount View Window and Door here in Denver, Colorado, and executive producer of the Art of Construction podcast. So for the past 2 years, I've been learning all of your stories. I've been setting up conversations and meeting, you know, owners and entrepreneurs and amazing visionaries from all over the construction industry. And, you know, I'm really obsessed with narrative and how narrative and story really guides the decisions and the actions that we make in our lives. And boy, is there a story to tell here in the world of construction. And I've been telling that story from behind the scenes for about 2 years now, and I'm honored to come in. And I was setting up this conversation with Plan Hub, who we've been so passionately watching them grow since they first were on the show about earlier this year. And so Devin said, hey, how about you just come on and join us for today since you were so passionately put this episode together. So I'm happy to join, and here we am, and let's lock and load.
Awesome. Here we go, Scott. So make sure you go back and check out show 179 with Kevin. And so the perspective that we're going to look at here today. So in our chat with Sala Eckert of Microsoft about the digital building lifecycle, she talked about the tendency in construction to over-engineer solutions. Boy, is that true. New construction technology can tend to create more problems than it solves, as many in our industry struggle to adapt to the new practices the technology requires. I've heard it over and over again, and I couldn't agree more. The art of construction changed with the smartphone, but then it created this new problem of, and then there's so many tools, and now I have 100 apps on this amazing thing. What do I do with it? That's what we're going to talk about and get into those right tools. Art of Construction sees Plan Hub as breaking this trend and taking a turn in the right direction. Rather than trying to force contractors to change their behavior, they're crafting their technology to fit into the daily workflow of the ordinary contractor to truly make your lives and growing your business easier, which is what this podcast is all about. It's for you contractors and affiliates to crush it and grow your business. Based on this, we want to take a deeper dive into their process and speak with the head of product development, right? So let's get the person that makes this work. Let's go in and hear Evan Williams' story, who is the Vice President of Product Development Management with PlanHub. What do you say, Scott? Let's pop the top and have some fun?
Let's do it, Devin.
All right, lock and load. Here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
Wow. Well, I probably drink a ton of coffee, so that's I probably would call that my favorite. But it is the holidays, and I haven't had like a really good glass of eggnog yet, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, I'm a South Florida guy, and you know, coquito is kind of where the Puerto Ricans have it right. You know, it's rum, a little coconut, some sweetened condensed milk, and that's like Christmas all the way for me.
You just put me in the holiday spirit, my friend. That is good stuff. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, so my favorite place in the world is probably Northern Italy, but you know, in the essence of art of construction, I think, you know, for me, I wanted to talk about my time in Dubai. I think Dubai is just one of the coolest cities when it comes to construction. You know, the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. I had a chance to go to the top of that building a few years ago. And man, what an impression that makes. You know, you go from these like old historic spice markets, and then a few minutes later, you're traveling in this elevator at like supersonic speeds to the top. And that, man, when you see on the elevator that you're at like 158 floors and you're still going, it really makes an impression. They have this coolest thing there. They have a patio you can go out, and you can actually like at the top deck, stick your hand over the side of the building and almost feel like you're out in the open up in the clouds. Super cool, kind of crazy. Yeah, favorite place for sure.
That's super cool, man. There's some crazy stuff going on over there, right? What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos, PlanHub, and the rest of the tri are passionately trying to break down that we call the art of construction?
Well, I'd say I'm a passionate foodie, definitely self-proclaimed foodie. I love to cook. I love to try different techniques. We'll make travel plans to visit restaurants depending on where they are and like the top 10 restaurant lists around the world. Actually, I felt like a kid a few years ago. I had to get up at 2 a.m. to get myself reservations at a restaurant in Italy. But if you remember on one of these streaming services, you know, I think it was called Chef's Table. They had Osteria Francescana. It was the first show on the first episode. And I said, I have to go there. And it was such a cool meal, such a great experience and worth the trip.
Outstanding. Well, we got to know a little bit about Evan. So let's go in. Tell us your story. What led you to becoming the VP of Product Management for PlanHub?
Well, I guess I started working on IT projects pretty much 2001, upgrading point of sale systems in restaurants. So I worked with the Navy, actually, going to different bases around the world and upgrading, you know, in their restaurants and some of their retail outlets, upgrading their point of sale systems. It was cool. I did that also for, you know, quick service restaurants. I got into cruise lines. I found myself on projects that always seemed to wrap around IT in some way or form. You know, it's, I guess, a part of just continuous improvement these days. You know, you're always trying to make things faster and to be innovative and to accelerate kind of what you're doing. And technology seems to be at the core of it. So I've always found myself, whether I like it or not, working on IT projects. You know, the last few months have been a bit crazy. You know, the whole impact that the virus has had on the hospitality business kind of challenged me to look in new directions. And I've got a great friend and colleague, a partner in the construction space, and they recommended that I talk to Kevin. So, you know, 6 months later, here I am.
Yeah, there's a key golden nugget there, right? Is the cause and effect, right? It's a crazy world right now with all this stuff going on. But I can tell you the art of construction has a lot of capabilities, right? And with all the natural disasters, and Scotty can attest, right, that technology-wise, there's so many technologies, but are people truly using it, right? And so that's where we were so jazzed when PlanHub worked with us to say, let's have Evan, who's overseeing that IT stuff that doesn't come from, you know, having the hammer and nails going into the walls his whole career, which is a lot of the people that in the past had become the leaders running these companies because that's where they were, right? So getting someone, so you come from the restaurant background, but coming from that IT of letting people all play from the same sheet of music. Is that kind of safe to say?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's there's an interest in some sort of general kind of industry push, no matter where you are, to think more intelligently about what you're doing. And you know, there's easy ways to do it now. Technology. There's so many cool products out there. You just got to find the right use case and make it happen. Right? It's where the magic comes together.
Scott, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that that one of the very first episodes that I was behind the scenes doing was, I believe it was AOC 149 with Mac Little of Via Technic. And one of the first things I ever heard was he stressed the importance of looking for talent from outside of the construction industry to come into the construction industry and solve problems. And, you know, when you're doing the same thing for 10, 20, 30 years, sometimes there's these simple solutions that might be right in front of you. But when you've been doing it one way for so long, you might, you might not see that. And so I see so many people throughout my time here, like Evan, who come from out of the construction industry and able to work with the superstars within the construction industry and really give those simple solutions that people who've been in the industry their lives might not see. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, and it all boils down to we want to find the right way to properly grow our business. So last time that we spoke with CEO Kevin, man, we've seen a ton of growth from you guys. So what has that been like, and why do you guys think you've grown so much, Evan?
Well, I have to say, yeah, success feels good. You know, it really kind of creates a very innovative environment. You've got a lot of ideas floating around. People are just jazzed, you know, generally. Very creative, very entrepreneurial, and I love it. I love getting up to work and coming into the office and, you know, really kind of looking through the backlog and thinking about, well, you know, what can we do next? What's the next greatest thing that we can do to help make life better for, you know, GCs and subcontractors? I think one of the things that we've got right is we just seem to have our finger on the pulse. You know, we know what's going on in the industry. You know, our CEO, Kevin, he's from the industry. He's a great visionary, and yeah, he's continuing to pepper us with different ways to move forward. And I think, I don't know, I love it. That's a great way to get started every day.
Yeah, that's awesome, Evan. I have a similar atmosphere here when we come in the morning, you know, working for Devin and Arta Construction and Mountain View Window and Door here in Denver. Everyone's really jazzed by what they do, and in the world of construction, that really makes all the difference when you got to have some care and quality into your craft. So thanks for that. So one thing I was really interested in, and I'll just start kind of with what I had in mind. There's a good quote by Henry Ford where he says, if I had asked the people what they wanted, they would have just asked for faster horses. And so when you're doing product development, there's obviously a level of creativity you have to have where you give the your consumer something they didn't even really know they needed. But on the flip, construction has this problem with technology where people are, like we said, over-engineering solutions, and they think they're the Henry Ford that's about to give the Ford to the construction industry. And then they just realize that, no, it's just not going to work. People aren't adopting it. And so I want you to, if you could, tell us about your product development process and your decision-making process. So how do you balance the feedback from the contractor and subcontractor with your decisions? And how plugged in are you to sort of understanding the everyday behavior and workflow of the contractor and subcontractor? And how does that go into your product development process?
Yeah, I love that question. Well, I'm sure you've heard it. I actually think I've heard it on your show before where someone's come up and said, man, we built the coolest widget, but no one bought it, right? Like everyone gets yeah. excited about what they're doing. And then, you know, you take it to market and you realize, maybe I wasn't really on the right track there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we lean into this idea of product discovery, maybe a common term in the product circles, but you know, we've got our fingers really on, you know, analytics and surveys and user groups, and we're talking to GCs and subs, and we've got great feedback loops with the sales teams and the business dev teams. We're really trying to make sure we understand what's going on out there and not just, you know, taking subjective feelings and doing development work on that. We want to make sure that we validate everything, that we truly understand the pain points that people are going through. you know, and that we have an objective and we try to measure success against that objective. If the product is launched and we haven't met the objective, we're not done yet. And we just keep pounding at it until we get it right. I have to say, I think the one of the best ways for us to do it, though, is to put prototypes in front of users way before any engineering is started. So we have a designer, you know, she's killing it right now. She's building out a lot of ideas. We're getting them in front of people, and we iterate on it as many times as possible before, you know, we put it in front of the engineers. And that works for us.
I think that's key to, like we talk about, not over engineering, just giving kind of the nuts and bolts, like you're talking about, to some focus groups. It's not going to overwhelm them, and you might get some really good kind of instinctual feedback that then you can probably give to your engineers to do the rest.
Hey, I'll say I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, but I would love the opportunity to ask everybody in the audience if, you know, in part of your tribe, if they ever want to be part of one of our user groups, you know, feel free to reach out, and, you know, we'd love to get more people engaged. So anytime.
Yeah, we appreciate you saying that, because this podcast is built for you, contractors and affiliates, to grow their business. And you wonder what tools or where should I go? And that's where we put these people like Evan on front and center, with them saying this podcast is for Plan Hub and its tribe, right? And that's how we all grow together. When Evan referenced earlier, say, I heard you say another person say we build the software and didn't work. Like, that's what this whole platform is for all of us to learn together. So for current Plan Hub users or people that have maybe not checked out Plan Hub, tell us about, we love the shiny objects, right? So tell us about some of those new features that your users and your team are most excited about coming up.
Man, we just launched this Bid Navigator package. It's got a variety of cool tools that, you know, depending on where you are in the business, I think you'll have a different appreciation for it. And one of them is a blueprint scanner, and it just seems like it could be a simple thought and maybe even a little old school, but man, when you're looking through hundreds and hundreds of blueprints and you're trying to find a single word, to have technology do that for you at your fingertips, that to me is powerful, right? And it's about saving time. The other thing that we've got is this what we're calling the competitive analytics tool. It will tell you as a subcontractor, you know, how popular is a project? How good are your chances of winning a project? Who's looking at the files? Who's downloading files? How sharp does your bid have to be in order to win the project? These are all things that our customers are telling us, you know, that would make our product really cool. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I love that you guys are doing this, because my comment about now there's an app for that, right? And so, but you don't have time to integrate and add all this stuff. It may seem simple, but if you're just in one place to say, how do we connect the analog to digital, of get the blueprints in there, have the tool to where a competitive advantage analytics, most of our amazing tribe don't have time to even look at this stuff, because how do you put it together, right? But if you take this source that you're already using and you can just keep growing your business, it's that 2% paradigm shift, doing something better every day and just keep working on. That's what I love about what Plan Hub is doing with these different tools or their bid calendar. And so that's what they mean. Am I getting it right when you and I hear that's what the core features of this Bid Navigator are all about, Evan?
Yeah, saving time and just making life a little easier for subcontractors. You know, we also think about some of the technologies that are becoming more prevalent. So machine learning and AI, and, you know, how do we find the right use case where we can use that technology and the power of it to, again, you know, offer it to subcontractors in a way that just makes their life a little easier.
Well, there's another tool, right? This podcast, it's very simple. It's for contractors and affiliates to grow your business, but it's taking that gooey middle as well. You know, the subcontractors, the supply chain, all the other people that make this work, it's taking those and putting that all together. And that's the Plan Hub, right? When we talk about what Plan Hub is as a business. So what would you say to a contractor or subcontractor who is still hesitant to use this type of technology? Should they fear construction bids and projects working more like an Apple product?
That's interesting. So, you know, we have a few kind of core design principles, and one of them is just keep it easy. You know, it, sometimes we'll sit in a boardroom and we'll kind of sketch out an idea, and it gets super complicated, and we just think, we're on the wrong path right now. If it's not easy and the user can't intuitively figure out how to use it, we're on the wrong track. So with, you know, an eye to design, you know, human behavior and some of those UI, UX kind of elements behind it, now we try to build things that just make sense, right? Like I see grandparents now, you know, picking up phones and sending emails and using FaceTime, and, you know, they're trying to find an easier way to connect with their families and their friends. And they're engaging with technologies in new ways. And I think that's, you know, really where it's at. It's to let us do the hard work for you, right? Let our engineers do the complicated stuff. And on the front end, if it's easy, why not? You know, why not try it? It's going to help you line up work. It's going to expose projects to you in new ways. It's just going to make it a little more enjoyable, I hope.
Yeah, definitely. And building off of that, just to talk about that competitive advantage analysis as something that is just a perfect example of streamlining something where in the past, you know, I'm a marketing director here from Mountain View Window and Door, and watching how we bid on projects, sometimes you don't know what you're really bidding on. And if you're looking for new business and you're going out of your usual channels of where you're getting business, you just really don't know. And so you might have to do all this preliminary research. And so you guys are doing this tool to essentially say, look, this is how many bids this project is getting. It's essentially, this bid is hot right now. So clearly it's something that you should want. Or if there's not a lot of bids on it right now, either maybe you found it the second it got posted, or maybe there's a reason that no one's bid on it. And it's cool because it reminds me of when you're shopping online on like Etsy, for example, you can see how many people have something in their cart. And so if there's a really rare object, rare piece of art you found, and there's only three of them, I might say this is in 22 people's carts right now. And it kind of tells you right away, oh yeah, I should buy this. This is obviously something that other people are looking at. And so I love that relationship between what a website like Etsy or even Amazon does just to help streamline the buying process, and then what you guys are doing with PlanHub to streamline kind of the quality and qualification aspects of understanding what you're bidding on.
Yeah. Now getting the right information at your fingertips right when you need it. You know, it's such a powerful way of moving forward.
Yeah, because for someone young like me, they call like young people digital natives, where we've been in the digital world forever, versus if you're probably above the age of 35 or so, you're called a digital immigrant, where you've had to immigrate into the digital world. And so for someone like me, it's so easy to just go on Google and look at 17 tabs in 5 seconds to get information. But if you're above the age of 35, it's not that simple. And so this software that can just streamline all that information to you, so you don't have to look for 17 tabs all at once to get that info, is really key. So building off of that, do you have in mind maybe one kind of favorite piece of feedback that you ever received from a user just about PlanHub in general?
Well, I you know, there's kind of two things that stand out. I think one is more about, you know, just designing products. You know, there's a lot of like knee-jerk reaction sometimes to problems. And I think for me, the trick is really to try and understand what the problem really is, and not just, you know, approach the symptom. So for example, if someone says, hey, your report's not working right, now I might spend a lot of time trying to fix or at least troubleshoot what's happening in that report. Whereas the real issue could be, you know, an underlying process that's giving me bad data. And there's a lot of like basic root cause analysis things. There's a 5 whys kind of technique, which it sounds super simple, but it really helps you dive deep into what's causing the problem. And that stuff, I think, for me is quite powerful. It just makes sure that we're focusing our effort on all the right stuff and not chasing issues that are symptoms. The other thing for me is watching a small subcontractor just grow their business. I think for me, that's some of the best feedback. When you see someone getting new projects and building their company, and it feels good to know that your products are making an impression on the business, right? And that's something that helps motivate our team.
Yeah, I bet it does, because when you grow someone's business, you're pretty much literally changing their lives for the better, and they're able to hire on new employees and You know, in the end, you guys probably have no idea how many lives you've improved. You know how many customers you have, but even beyond that, kind of the ripple effect of how that's improved construction projects all about the country. And that's what Art of Construction is about. And as far as the kind of the instinct, the knee-jerk reactions that you were talking about, I like to compare it to music. I do a lot of music production in my free time. And if you put something that's wrong in a song and someone just listens to it, they'll say, "Oh, that just didn't sound right." And they won't know at all what to say about why it didn't sound right. They just kind of know. And so it's cool to have that understanding from a design process when you're working with contractors, is like sometimes they have no idea why something feels wrong, but they just know it does feel wrong. And then that's kind of your job to kind of go in and actually understand why that might be.
Yeah.
So building off of that again, how does your sort of research and development department and then your back-end coding, you know, your engineers talk to each other? So, you know, it sounds like you do a lot of front-end prototype, you know, type focus groups where you bring in subcontractors and contractors and, you know, gauge their feedback. So is your coding department in those meetings, or do you just take that information and then you present that to your coding department? I think this is could be really important just for anyone in construction tech to understand the relationship between how you get your data from the on-the-ground focus groups, and then how do you have your coders who may not know much about construction, like how do you talk to them about that feedback you just got, and then how do they implement that?
Yeah, good question. I think what we're learning as an industry, just from a product design perspective, is that, you know, you really can't come up with the best ideas unless you bring those engineers into the discussions much earlier on. You know, back to your Ford comment, right? It's the engineers who knew how to make a car. It wasn't the customers that kind of knew what was possible. And so we really try to make sure that they're exposed to the feedback and that they see the same types of feedback from customers. From a execution and process perspective, we do all the standard stuff. We take the ideas, we decompose it into stories. The stories get prioritized in a list and it gets built out into a roadmap. You know, it's kind of a common process to kind of translate all of these business needs into workable chunks of stuff. And that process seems to be tried and true, and it works quite well. I think where it gets a little fun is when an engineer who's kind of new to the business is looking at certain terminology that's unique to construction. You know, a few weeks ago, we were looking at the word detention. It was used actually as like an underground detention system. And you know, we had a good fun conversation about what kind of building needs this, thinking they were talking about like maybe some sort of advanced prison system, not necessarily stormwater, you know, managing and controlling stormwater drainage, stuff like that. So we definitely have some glossary type definition stuff and some, you know, industry learning that has to happen. But all in all, you know, getting the engineers up front, helping them be a part of the solution process, and then just decomposing the work into manageable chunks. You know, that works well. That's quite proven, and we try to iterate on that process as many times as we can.
Yeah, I just laugh and when I chuckle when I hear the words. You know, I when new people come into my window and door company, I say, this is going to sound crazy, but it's going to take you a year or two to be able to speak window and door. It's a whole nother language because people have came and they've abbreviated and done all this stuff in the fenestration industry. That is, what the heck is that word, right? So there's all these words of learning the art of construction, right? Just like unintended consequences when Ford came out the car, they went faster than the horses or the roads or everything, right? So have you discovered any unintended benefits or consequences during these product rollouts that have caused you to shift your focus, or have they all gone as planned?
Nothing ever goes as planned. That's why I think we have jobs. It's amazing. You can think of every edge case and every scenario, and you can you know, test it to death, and for whatever reason you always tend to learn something new, and I enjoy that part of the process. I think you know, a lot of it is around discovery, but man, we've seen data in the wrong places, we've seen all sorts of scenarios that we just hadn't considered, but we've got good monitoring and we can respond quickly, and that's part of the, you know, part of the process is to be able to react dynamically when you see things like this. And I, you know, we release code every 2 weeks. You know, there's different ways to approach it, but, you know, we're always putting stuff into production. And I think, you know, it just gives us a chance to really get good feedback quickly and not waiting months to make sure that, you know, something's right or wrong.
Awesome. Well, it's been fascinating watching me when people, we kind of highlighted this at the beginning, when you come from outside the industry, like Scott was this amazing music producer and could do all this stuff, to where he is able to tell this story of, like, with our architecture modular division, to make these boxes come to life in a whole new way. But you, with your background in the restaurant, are there any other takeaways from your time working in other industries that you've been able to apply to your work at PlanHub?
Yeah, for sure. The, you know, for one, for the last 10 years, I worked in an environment that was primarily franchise owners. It was independent, small business, entrepreneurs and families. And I find a very similar quality in subcontractors in our community, where they're, you know, a lot of family oriented, entrepreneurial, you know, companies that are trying to build, you know, build success in their own way, in their own right. And so I definitely find similarities there. I think the other thing that helps me, and, you know, this is probably because I've got such a you know, good background in hospitality, is, you know, sort of a empathy for the customer, empathy for their needs, and trying to solve, you know, real problems that that they deal with every day. You want them to be happy, and you want them to leave your experience and your product feeling like they had, you know, good value and that they came out of it a better person.
Awesome. So, kind of getting into closing here. So, construction has more than any other industry has a UX or a user experience problem. Across the board, there is no standard way of doing things. And some new technology is siloing different parts of the industry, which we're trying to break down those silos here on the Art of Construction from each other rather than bringing us all together. So, Evan, with that in mind, what is your crystal ball for the future of technology and construction, and where does PlanHub fit into this future?
Well, fortunately, you know, the discipline of developing products, I think, is just getting better and more effective every day. We just don't have time anymore to muddle around on things that aren't getting used. So we're very focused. So what's happening around us is quite interesting. There's AI and 3D printing and natural language processing and IoT and sensors. And, you know, I don't think we're introducing anything new, but what we're finding are new use cases, new ways to make it all kind of come to life. And, you know, we're going to continue to do this. I think the new generation around us, the young kids that are coming into the business and taking over the companies, and the, you know, these new generations, they're bringing in digital skills. They're helping us work faster and more effectively, and they're trying new things. And, you know, the whole culture is going to change. And I think we just want to be a part of that shift, right? It's these inflection points that we see coming up. They're just going to be too big to ignore. You can't, I don't think you can ignore it. And I think that's what we want to make sure we're aligned with, and that we're exploring new technologies, and we're trying to make sure the right use case is being focused on.
I couldn't agree more. And PlanHub, it's amazing to see how many things you guys have done to take all these different tools and utilize them in a platform, right? And you have to have a platform to put this stuff together. So the last question I always ask when we get to have leaders of the tribe like Evan come into Studio AOC is, what is that one thing for the Art of Construction Tribe affiliates, its contractors and affiliates and everybody out there crushing it, what is that one thing you would tell them to go out and do to grow their business?
Shameless plug for PlanHub, right? You can easily start with us.
There you go.
Right, it's free. The GCs can post projects. Subcontractors can start submitting bids. You know, it's about building your network and getting a pipeline kind of laid out. And that's what we're trying to do, is to bridge the relationships between people and help, you know, really help kind of launch a good business.
Yeah. Without leads, you don't have a business, but leads could just be something you don't know what to do with. And that's what I love about PlanHub. It's a platform that takes those leads into a pipeline instead of what I call the pipe dream. If you're just taking stuff in, don't know what you're doing with it. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Evan, thank you so much. We're honored to have episode number 2 with Plan Hub with the Art of Construction Tribe. I can't wait. We're going to keep watching you guys, and we're honored to be affiliated and have you be leaders of the tribe when we go out there and help us all crush our business and grow every day, right?
Love it. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Great stuff, man.
Thank you, Evan.
Scotty Hicken, you did it, my man. Episode 1 with my special guest co-host. What was it like for you? You've done, you know, I sit here and when I listen to you talking, you say for 2 years you've been behind the mic making me sound okay. And thank you so much for all the work you've done. But what was it like to come in and say, you know, another integral part of making the Art of Construction tick, huh?
Well, I think in the end it was always going to happen this way, where the first time I did it wasn't something we really planned, you know, no pun intended, Plan Hub, but that you just kind of threw me in there. But I mean, I love it. I'm always thinking about things from this kind of narrative story element. And with this episode in particular, something Evan said that I thought was really interesting and like a nugget of gold to me, where he's talking about bringing his engineers up early in the process. You know, something I'm thinking about with some of these construction tech tools that don't end up working is that they just kind of take what they want and then they're like, engineers, coders, do this, and then it doesn't work. So his comment on it's the real coding engineers that in the end know what is possible, and to actually bring them up into the conversation so that they can learn, you know, what detention means, what fenestration means, what all these different terms in construction are, because that's really what the Art of Construction is about. And that's why I'm passionate about it, is because we're linking all these different parts together. No other industry, in my opinion, has as many different personalities that all have to communicate every single day on every single project. That's why it's called the Art of Construction. And I've been, you know, living that narrative from the back end, you know, writing the descriptions and doing the editing. And it was an honor, Devin, to come and join in my first episode as the co-host. So thanks for having me.
You bet. And my takeaway is along the same platform there, to say, you know, I'm a kid, graduated from college in 2003. And one of my first mentors said, and I was working in supply channel and trying to figure out the Art of Construction, where I fit in. And he said, there's two things that'll make or break a construction project. It's a good foundation or getting the right windows and doors installed on time. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, the whole critical path hinges off those two things, because there's so many decision makers in a construction project to make that work. But you have to start with a good foundation. And so the stuff that used to make, and the more I'm living the Art of Construction, man, foundations are so sexy. Plumbers, all the stuff that actually makes it work, because that's what we talk about, the life cycle of the building, right? Yeah. And so you have to have a foundational platform like Plan Hub, because you have to have the right leads to fit the right business model that where you want to go. And we're all trying to figure this out, right? So that's what I love and why I wanted to have them back, to say they keep pushing forward. And they're pushing forward in the right way, to say they're giving tools that actually mean something, right? Mm-hmm. And stuff that you wouldn't think is obvious becomes so obvious when you really live the Art of Construction. And that's what they do at Plan Hub. And that's why Kevin and his team, he's grew up in the Art of Construction just like I have. And bringing in people from the outside, like I've done with you, Scott, and what he's done with Evan and his team. And you're taking these people and you're blending the tribe together to say, we are not the 80%. We're not even the 20%. We're the 1% that's going to crush the status quo, right? And so you can hear things like modular. Well, modular, you go back and modular was around for the first Sears calendar in 19, that when we talk about Henry Ford and the buggy whips and all this. This shit's not new, folks. It's actually taking someone that puts it together to make sense of it. And so I challenge every one of you to go to the show notes, use this tool, but also in the show notes, there's going to be a video that Scott made. Tell them about the video you made about modular, Scott, where you took your DJ stuff from CU and your journalism and really made those boxes flip with a tune that's really fun. And then you can put it into a platform that we're working with companies like Plan Hub to say, how does this all come together?
Yeah, thanks, Devin. So, you know, we're doing our first line of Art of Construction, you know, actually built projects designed by our executive director, Mac McMullen, and we're doing these high-end custom modular projects where those two words, high-end, or three words, high-end custom modular, don't really go together when people think about it. But that's just because of the way it was done in the past and not necessarily because of what modular is. And so, you know, to bring it back to Plan Hub, you know, we're looking for people in Colorado and around the world who want to work with us to really transform the way that modular construction is done. And, you know, we have a house that's, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square feet that was just built in one day with eight giant modular units on top of it. And so you can watch the video that we'll show in there. And it's incredible to watch something come together in a day when it typically will take, you know, a year and a half. And so that's just another example of how things in construction typically have taken so long. You know, getting bids, finding the right projects to even bid on in the first place has typically taken so long, but it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what this platform is for, is to really show that just take your head out of the sand and really look at the history of all this stuff. And just because it was done one way in the past doesn't mean that you can't bring in new minds like me or like Evan or the team from Plan Hub to figure out how to do it better.
Awesome, Scotty. Well, when we all have our cup of eggnog with a little spike over the holidays, because this holidays are crazy right now, but this too shall pass. We'll maybe meet you up again with Plan Hub and have a deep dive series or this when we're putting this all together, because they're not going anywhere but up. And we're big fans of what you got going at Plan Hub. Thanks so much for coming in, Scotty. Crush it out there, Art of Construction. Have as much fun as possible. But don't forget, cash is king. Grow your business. Thanks, Tribe.